Strange Letters from a Queen Bughorse, Letter 6. That was faster than I expected. Just after seeing Twilight had closed the letterbox and stepped back inside the library tree, there was a knock at the door. The one knocking was a narrow-faced unicorn mare, remarkably tall and slender, with a pristine pink-white coat and tired eyes. Her mane was dark green, pulled up into a bun with a few strands trying to escape. Her cutie mark was a pair of outlined masks, one happy and the other sad. Although her own expression was set into a happily relaxed unhappiness.
"Twilight Sparkle?"
said the mare on the doorstep, holding out a hoof.
"Liminal state, I just got your reply."
Twilight looked over at the postbox, looked back at the mare, briefly thought over the mathematics of postal delivery from Ponyville to Canterlot, and travel time in the reverse direction, and then considered that earlier that same day, she had seen Pinkie Pie exit a building through a closed kitchen cabinet.
"That was faster than I expected,"
she said, and stepped back.
"You can come in, you know. It is a public library."
The library was in a state of organized chaos. Twilight guided her guests between stacks of books left in flux by a half-finished re-indexing, realized that every table and chair was taken, and finally swept all the books aside in a whirl of magenta magic that left half the ground floor clear and the other half filled floor to ceiling with books.
"Well,"
Liminal State said, staring at the occupied half of the room, her ears back. But she simply spread out her papers on one of the cleared tables.
"I've got templates for sign-up sheets, purchase orders, and a propositional schedule for the next month's books. Everything is subject to change, of course, and it depends on what we can get out of the publishers."
Twilight had her nose nearly pressed against the sheet listing the future selection of books.
"The Princess Bridal, Of Ponies and Prejudice, Perfection the Impossible Pursuit. You have some interesting selections here, Miss State." "Oh, no,"
the mare said, her tone dry.
"Miss State was my father."
Twilight made a noise somewhere between a cough and a laugh.
"Do call me Liminal,"
the mare continued.
"And we do try to make our selections more consequential than the usual fluff that you get from the usual book club. Books that really get at the pony condition, so to speak."
A broad, almost smug grin had spread across her face.
"It does seem nice,"
Twilight allowed.
"But I've never run into a book club before, even using materials provided by Simpony. Is there a book on book clubs that you would recommend?" "Why don't I tell you about it instead?"
Liminal said.
"I'll take you to lunch."
The smile that had flattened out raised again.
"My treat. I could really use the break, and I do get the feeling that you could too." "Well, okay, but I really can't take all that long,"
Twilight said.
"The library does need a proper reopening sooner rather than later." "Excellent,"
Liminal said, and all but pushed Twilight out of the door.
"Hello?"
drifted a faint boyish voice out of the heaps of books filling half the library.
"Any pony? I just woke up and I'm kind of stuck."
Letter 7, Under a Cloche.
"Dear Princess Celestia, I've eaten your second breakfast. I do hope you don't mind, because just thinking about political banter makes me terribly peckish, and you really could use the diet. You could really use the diet. Have you seen yourself from behind recently? Whatever trick you're using to stay so shapely won't help much once you've expanded in scale so far that you can't fit through the doorframes anymore. The more important matter, though, the political mobs that you sent to that little rendezvous are worse than useless. One of them dared to say that I needed declared titles before an exchange of titles can occur. Ridiculous! Do you realize how much of a bother that would be? My changelings are a nation of me, not a nation of laws, and all this legalist nonsense is strictly for the benefit of your little ponies. They talk about reciprocity and laws, that's even greater nonsense. The changeling law is thus: figure it out, or I'll have to come over there, and none of you will be happy. I'm certainly not going to deal with all this bother myself. If your ponies are so desperate for these formalisms, they'll be doing the work for me. I'll need to borrow them again, of course, probably for a while, in fact, to judge by the sheer volume of noise that handful of ponies produced that I didn't care about at all. I do hope you enjoy the fireworks, by the by. I did take care not to set your guards' ponies on fire for too long. They should merely need some thorough trims. I certainly wasn't going to let your ponies know the location of my Canterlot headquarters this early. Now you may nitpick that I only had your would-be dignitaries taken to a rented event hall and not my headquarters at all, but it's in the principle of the thing. Yours in strange cuisine, Queen Chrysalis. P.S. I'm serious about the diet. I've seen your doctor's notes."
Letter 8, Found in a Personal Satchel.
Dear Shining Armor, I do appreciate your efforts at guarding this little ongoing diplomatic convention that sprouted up in your city. You have, to your credit, attempted to do your job as well as you can in the face of uncertainty, impromptu scheduling, and your inevitable paranoia about whether my goals include replacing your rulers with some kind of terrifying parasiticracy. But with that said, your ponies just aren't very good at this whole guarding thing. This is a fact, not a taunt or a threat. I had one of my changelings mingle with your guards just to see what she could get away with. It took 3 hours for any of them to notice that she was out of place. 3 hours, Shining Armor. Do consider the damage I could have done if I was so inclined, or the damage that could have been done to my changelings. You have some inkling of what we can do, and you haven't even set up passwords, let alone real discipline for anything that doesn't require standing in one place for long periods. You can fix this, though. I'll be expecting that you do as one of your future superiors. If you decide that you can't accomplish the task yourself, I can loan you some of my specialists to correct your guard's deficiencies. Now isn't that an embarrassing thought? You can consider it extra motivation. Yours in fake amusement, Queen Chrysalis. P.S. There's no need to reply. I know how things are going.
Letter 9. Fasten a headwear.
Dear Princess Celestia, what crown does a pony duchess wear? The brains say that some kind of reciprocal ducal title blah 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 thing is the most practical arrangement, so I'll need the appropriate regalia. In addition to my own, of course, as a queen, I of course far outshine a mere princess, but I'm not going to let you see my crown early in case you get any funny ideas when you realize how greatly it outclasses the strange little tiara thing that you wear. In any case, I'll be wearing 2 crowns. I'll also be inventing the traditional regalia for the ducal rank of the Changeling Nation, seeing as we've never had it before. I am reasonably sure that I can come up with something that won't clash too badly with your, you know, you. Besides the crown, would you believe that your ponies were so unsure as to the state of your inheritance laws that I have had to have my changelings go to do the research for themselves? It's almost as if you've never even bothered to prepare for your own demise. It's no secret that all the rulers aspire to live forever, but it's simply irresponsible of you to not plan for the worst. Do you have some kind of pony blood magic in place to transfer your soul into the pink one? If you don't, all it would take is a single unlikely but not impossible accident involving a cockatrice, a set of roller skates, a group of clowns, and a large bass to throw Equestria into chaos. Of course, I'm also going to inevitably need a substantial amount of legitimate Equestria currency to make all of this royal stuff work the way that your ponies expect. My changelings being inimitably more efficient than ponies don't need to bother with a concept in the first place. So, what you think? Brothels? Orphanages? Do orphanages make money? Perhaps we can make a business out of hiring our substitute princesses. The other two, I mean, not you. I'd have to leave you off limits for risk of my changelings straining themselves too far trying to emulate your prodigious frame. Or maybe I could just infiltrate your banking system directly and produce all the money I need. What are your thoughts, Princess? Yours is an interesting business, Queen Chrysalis. P.S. I'll be needing one of those railroad lines eventually. Nothing to concern yourself with. I've already secured most of the materials from your supplies.
Letter 10, sent via the Daily Post.
Dear Twilight Sparkle, I greatly enjoyed our outing together. I do hope that you feel the same, and if I overstepped my bounds, I apologize. If I understepped my bounds, you need to let me know, because I've never been very good at finding them either way. In any case, if you're interested in meeting again, do let me know. While my work in Canterlot keeps me remarkably busy at all hours, I might be able to slip away for a day at some point. Yours sincerely, Liminal State. P.S. I am aware that I may have made a less than positive impression with some of your friends. Please let them know that I hold no personal ill will towards them. As you may have already noted, I am not by nature the most genuinely social pony. That is why I was so unpleasant when the talk of my cutie mark came up. There is a story behind it, and I won't tell you the full details, but I discovered once that my talent was to show off a different face to others. For a time, I made full use of that to do things that I came to regret, and then I spent a long time rejecting it. It's only recently that I've started to get more in touch with that part of myself, and I hope to use it for something like good. P.P.S. Lack of personal ill will does not preclude dislike of apple-derived foods.
That's slick side of Chrysalis, man. You can really tell that she honeys her words and has quite the hell of a silver tongue. Now let's get on to our golden-hearted donators. Top donators, Dash of Evergreen, Peter Coldhard, J-Tin Man, Darkseid, and Pony Man. Courier Crucii, Delta Omega, Strix, RuneScythe 9852, Dospo, Rhiney Dragonwolf, Secret Moon, Tal Rasha, The Toilet Snake, Sword Brethren Mordred, Cerberus, Starlight Glimmer, Squiddy Boy, David D. Sanchez, Soul Dragon, Gaggy, Trey, Shadow Drake, Joe Piercy, Alex F., Rainbow Dash, Teal K. Anderson, John Becker, and Leon Reynolds. Thank you all so much for watching this video. Live life to the fullest, and get out there and be a sweet little charmer.